questions.
For you overcame.
Because of you, Jesus. Because of you. Because of you. Because
Jesus,
of you.
You're awesome and powerful.
In this place, light the flame, God. Light the flame. Thank you for what you did yesterday, God, at the Send in Florida. Thank you, Lord, that all hungry hearts have been touched by this, God, and your spirit just moved so powerfully all in that stadium, everywhere, every place that was listening and receiving, God, every place around the world that was saying yes to the Send, yes to the Great Commission, yes to what your evangelistic heart is. Yes to why you were slain. Yes for why you were raised. We thank you for that, God. We praise you for that, God. And count us in, God, in what you're doing in these last days. We receive. We receive. We receive. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. 12 hours down in Florida, in Orlando, at one of the stadiums down there. Wow. I was only able to catch a few hours at the end, and 4 hours are at my Facebook page if you want to go there and just watch it. Or I don't know if you can get all of it somewhere else. That would be great. But I'm just very excited about it because I believe the Lord released himself in such a new way that was unprecedented in America for what the next step is for this billion soul release around the world, billion soul release. And God is, he's saying, keep going, kids, keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't be distracted. Don't be dismayed. Don't believe a lie. Keep going is what you're created for. It's not something that someone just decided to preach. It's the Great Commission. And God is saying, I'm stirring up the hearts. And I'm saying, just say yes to what I have for you. And I'll make it known and I'll show you what it is. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm so stoked. I'm so stirred up by this. Can you imagine? I'm so excited. And some of you were able to watch it yesterday. I was doing other things. I couldn't do it yesterday, so I was late last night getting as many hours as I could. And then, anyway, so it was really good. But I just really encourage you to watch this as much as you can, because I think it'll stir you, because this is a place where we believe in the sent. This is the place where we do go. This is the place where we haven't sat idly. This is a place where there hasn't been an overall complacency, and now we're going, oh yes, that's what we need to do. We've been going out. We've been going around this place. We've been going around this country. We've been going around the world since 1996. And the Lord, I believe, from the release of this impartation and the fire, I believe that many are going to say, "Where? How do I do this? Where do I go?" And maybe they'll be plugged in down there in the ministries down there. That's great. But I believe the Lord is stoking people all over this nation. And I believe this is our time. And he said, "I've been preparing you. This is a process of purification season. It's a long season, right?" So the Lord is saying, "Let me help you with this." So take advantage of anything the Lord is saying and doing, and dig in. Don't miss. This is a Rhema time. This is a very special time in the kingdom of God. I'm so happy about it. You want to put up a couple pictures while I was trying to pick the right clip out of these 4 hours this morning? I'm getting a WhatsApp from Pastor Benjamin at the same time, so my cell phone was going kind of crazy. So I just have a couple of pictures and just want you to see. It's, you know, Pastor Jacob saying, "We serve a mighty God of miracles." It's like, oh yeah. Yes, we do. And this is in India. And this is a lady who was healed.
She says that she is healed now.
Amen.
She had a tumor fall off. This is Pastor Benjamin. We'll be with him. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. That means yes. When they shake their head that way, that means yes. Thank you, Lord. So you're watching someone get healed of deafness right there. Amen. Are there any other pictures? There were two? Is that it of pictures? Okay. Yeah. So that was coming just as I'm trying to decide with all the people that were speaking and praying and imparting and releasing and all that. And it's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. I'm going to ask Lawrence to share whatever is on his heart about that, because he was plugged in at some point. Maybe all day, I don't know how many hours, but you were plugged in. So if you can come up and share, that'd be great. But it was just kind of fun, because I said, "Lord, I want to listen to all of them and just keep playing it." Because there have been many, many things that we've done where we haven't been able to physically go. Some of us have, some of us haven't, or all of us have. You know, it's been a mixture over the years of going to various gatherings. And so we're very excited that this is happening. None of us were able to be there for that, but we were there in spirit and communicating with some of the people who are down there. So we're very happy about what God's doing, because it really is affecting the hungry hearts. And even the ones who aren't hungry are becoming hungry and getting that fresh oil so that they can be lit on fire. So there's a lot of fire, but we want the fire to remain. Amen?
So we actually had it playing in our house all day. And I was kind of in and out because we have four kids. but there were some really, really cool parts that touched my heart. Yep, this is one of them. You got to see it too, huh, bud? Did you like it? Yes. Say yes. Everybody's looking. Say yes. You know, we're familiar with things like this in the sense of the send is kind of the next generation carrying on the vision of the call into the next generation. And there were those people like Lou Engle and a lot of those people that were there. But one of the things that I loved hearing about and that I saw there, there was this, I think we all know and have experienced on some level when a large group of people like that who are believers, who are crying out for the Lord, you see this power. You can, it's, at least to me, it's evident when we're watching it on TV. But there was this call and this challenge of like stepping into that power and at the same time walking in intimacy with the Lord. And so there were several people who shared different times throughout. But the one thing that, as I was kind of in and out. The one thing that kept speaking to my heart a lot about throughout was this idea and this concept, and it's not new to any of us, but making ourselves available. So a lot of the testimonies that were coming out of this were just, a lot of them, like you hear the big name people that were there, but then there were these other people that they're just like, oh, I went to, the one that I remember a lot is this guy. He goes, I went to the high school and I just Googled toughest high schools in Los Angeles. Can anybody guess where they ended up? Compton. So he just goes to the school and he has the security guard. He goes, do you have a Bible study here? Guard's like, no, we haven't had anything like that in 12 years. And he just kept going back. And then the Lord opened the door and the principal had him in and he's sharing this testimony of, and he goes, what do you want? He goes, I want to start a Bible study. He goes, done. He goes, what else do you need? Like, it's this idea that when we carry the presence of God into these situations and we're obedient to respond to the calling of Christ, he's going to open those doors. And so there's these amazing testimonies that were coming out of the weekend and all of these things, like, because you hear those things about those people, like Todd White was there and he shares his stories, which are always crazy and amazing. And Kalinda was there and all these other people. But the ones that were amazing were these people that just said, I just had it on my heart. The Lord put it on my heart and I had to go. I had to go and do this. They did this thing called, what was it before the event? It was called the flood. So, I guess redeeming something, the flood in Florida. So they took like all these people and they just went out for days before the event and evangelized. They just shared the gospel. They love people. And it's just this idea of, it's not just about this moment here. It's not just about everything that's happening in the stadium. It's not just about the thing that happens in this church on a Sunday. Like, those are great things to equip us, to empower us. But the whole point is to carry that into impacting the rest of the world. And this idea that if we're just obedient to listen to the Lord and walk forward in that, he's going to open doors and you're going to see the signs, wonders, and miracles, not because I'm great and wonderful. It's because the Lord genuinely wants to do signs, wonders, and miracles in the earth. Like, how encouraging is that to know that if we just make ourselves available and we're obedient to step out, he genuinely wants to do the signs, wonders, and miracles. We just need to create a platform for him to move. And so it was really cool to see that flow throughout for 12 hours. It was amazing. And one other miracle that I saw is my house was actually clean for like an hour and a half because I was listening and cleaning at the same time, and it lasted like an hour. And so, yeah. Signs, wonders, and miracles. You just got to make yourselves available, and it just, the Lord opens up the heavens.
What really touched me, too, is the strong emphasis for the high schools and the college campuses and stuff. And this year, for Awaken the Dawn, which is going to be in October, there's a thrust, and I'm not sure how it's all defined yet for Awaken the Dawn, but, you know, we've been really very active and part of it for the last couple of years since it started. And so it's there's going to be a campus arising. I don't know exactly how it's going to look yet. I can probably tell you next weekend. And also, there's going to be high school something or another, which in the campuses, but there's also going to be city stuff. So I don't know what city stuff is happening yet for Ohio, but that's on our radar to just keep that flow going. So we're very excited about that. But what was really touching me, in addition to that, or along with that, is the fact that I was thinking about what you guys are already doing and where you are and your heart and for the long haul, for the campuses, and what, you know, how God has just opened up Jackson Middle School to us. Can you imagine this? And it's roaring. And Jackson High School for so many years since our kids were there. And it's consistent. But I believe that on that level, things are going to go, they're going to start to explode. And I know that Ashley's been in the Perry schools and a lot of you are on the Malone team. This is the season for Malone. You may not believe it from what you see or what you feel and like, really? But it is, because it's on the Lord's radar. So we're already in. We're in the trenches. We don't have to go knock on the door. He already let us in, and things are happening. And visions have been had already of people lining the rows in here. I mean, they don't have to come here, but this is a good place because we're all about these campuses. And people on campuses like to go overseas, and they like to go downtown, and they like to walk the streets, and even after the campuses. So then you go out to Mount Union, and same thing. It's been since 2001, 2? I don't remember. Somebody can tell me the first year. 2002, we've been at Mount Union University. That's really cool. In Stark State for 6 years, seven, I don't know. Long time. Kent is on our radar, okay? McKinley High School is on our radar. People have already had visions, thoughts, like, who, is this the time? Should we do it? We have grads from McKinley High School. I mean, the Lord, he'll send you back, you know, right around here, just right in the family. And if you weren't there, that's okay. You're engrafted in. It's not a problem. But there's other things the Lord wants to do. And I really believe that this is the season where that's going to happen. And he's preparing us. The foundations have been coming stronger and stronger and stronger. And the Lord's saying, I'm purifying you, my guys and girls. I'm purifying you in a season. Don't miss it. Do it my way. Don't let it be your process. Let it be my process for you. And that changes everything. So just hang on and you know, go along with what God's doing, because it's going to behoove you to do that. It's scriptural and experiential as well, because we can say it's really happening. So that's great. I'm very excited about that. So praise the Lord. And we're looking forward to everything that God's preparing in Brazil still. Lots of stuff going on. There's a new holy club there. You already heard about that. And it's working and it's going and people are attending and it's the next generation of it. And the second tier of holy clubs is already going and has already been going for 30 weeks, 30 videos, 30 sessions. It's, you know, God is really smart. He knows what he's up to. So he's providing the foundations there. And here, Carly, I'm going to ask you to say something briefly if you are in the room. Yeah. About what we're going to do, because we have Killing Kryptonite, and everybody knows about that from what Josh has prepared so beautifully and led us in last week. And so that's also on the target and agenda. And there'll be more information about Frontline Training Center. That's coming. And there was a little bit of a mention of that last week, so, you know, get the tape on that one.
So Jordan and I are going to be leading another group of Firm Foundations, Holy Club's Firm Foundations. So if you're in this room and you have not yet taken that class and you consider Frontline to be your home church, then we would love to have you in it. We're going to be doing it Sundays after church, so I'll get the calendar out. I'll have them ready by the end of service, so you can look at those dates and be a part of it. It is 12 classes, so it'll be 12 different Sundays immediately after church. And it's just a really great way to grow in holiness and to look at the Word of God together and really dig in to the Word of God, but also encountering God. So looking at the Word and taking it to the Lord and saying, God, what are you speaking to me about this verse or about these verses, about this topic? And a number of us in the room have already taken Firm Foundations and have found it just to be a launching pad into then the Song of Solomon study is kind of the next chapter in that. But it's really awesome, and we would love to have you be a part of it. So if you are interested in getting more information on that, feel free to talk to me after church.
And there was another one that began yesterday, but this is the one Carly's talking about for the group here at large. So see her if you're interested. Okay?
Be helpful if you had a Bible today. If you don't have one, raise your hand and someone will deliver one to you. It'll just be delivered. Anyone need a Bible? Father, we're here not just to be here. We're here to encounter you, Lord. We're here to be in your presence. Realize that you are here wanting to engage us. Experience, encounter, engage, Father. These are words that in this season of the church's history are said, but Father, we want them to be reality, and you want that more than we do. Father, I pray today your Holy Spirit will speak to us about encountering you. All of us, if we know Jesus, have encountered you at least once in our life. And we were born again. It was a major encounter, Lord. Thank you for that. I needed rescued, and you were my rescuer. We all needed rescued, and you were our redeemer and our rescuer. We bless your name. We allow this worship to stay in the room. From the worship this morning to the new song being released into the atmosphere, God, we just allow that worship to stay in this room and also go up to you, of course. But we need it. We need to be drawn in to worship of you. Thank you, God. You're all over this today because each of us are going to be drawn back to your heart. I believe it. I believe it. Today above all days, I can just tell from what's been shared so far, the classes that are being offered, the journey that we're in together, God. It's a journey to your heart. It's a journey to encounter you, to experience you in whole new ways. Father, to engage with you. We bless your name. We give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. In order to go to the nations, in order to be sent and to hear the Lord, do that in new ways and new places and so on, we're going to need to encounter him in a whole new way. It's not just our commitment. You know, I want to go to more people and give the gospel to more people and I'm going to do that. That usually fails. But if we encounter the Lord in new ways, experience his presence in new ways, allow him to empower us in new ways, he can get it done through us. The impossible. So that's what's been said this morning already. It's already been given out as a message, so I could just go take a coffee break. It's already been given out in the worship. Some of you would like me to take a coffee break. Please say that. Say it some more. No, no. Okay. I'll go ahead. This past week or so, Pastor Mary Pat and I have been having communion quite often together. And she brought this up to me, and it's something coming out of Bill Johnson's ministry and so on, a little bit more, and there's a new book about it, and the benefits of having communion and having it a lot more often than we have it, typically, in our church experience or definitely in our personal experience at home. So we've been doing some of that, and as is her way, you know her way, she says to me, "What do you see?" You know, it used to be I felt pressure when she said that. I can remember a meeting years ago when we were having a leadership meeting, and we went to a place that Carl Maxfield had, I think his parents have, Southern Ohio somewhere, I mean, you know, a ways away. And we were having a whole weekend. We needed a whole weekend because we really didn't know how to have meetings back then. So we took a whole weekend to figure it out. And one thing we did was spent hours on the budget. That was a waste of time. Because all we needed to do is just go to Mary Pat and Troy, and they would tell us this outrageous budget, and we could dream big and be done with it. But we all tried to chip in, and then, you know, those of us that were kind of being practical were down at this end, and Troy and Mary Pat were down at this end saying, "We watch God do it." So, anyway. And I remember we were having a prayer time, and I was kind of nodding off a little bit, to be honest. My own leadership meetings sometimes get to me. I remember falling asleep during a leadership meeting. We had been planning to go to one country. When I woke up, there was a plan to go to two countries. And I decided I wasn't ever going to fall completely asleep again because these people decided to double everything while I was asleep. But in this case, we were in a prayer time, and I was kind of nodding a little bit. And Mary Pat started praying, and she said, "And I think Pastor Bill has something that he's going to share with us." "Go ahead, Pastor Bill. We're in prayer. It's something he's seen right now." And I remember looking, and all I was seeing was blank. It was just one blank in front of my spirit's eye. And I thought, great. She put me on the spot. And as soon as I started telling the Lord how that was upsetting me, he gave me a picture. He gave me a picture of a pancake. And in the pancake was written in script, "Big dreams." And a hand came in from the side, and I knew it was the Lord. And he was pouring the syrup of faith on that. And then, you know, I was starting to eat the pancake, and the rest of us in the meeting were bringing in and starting to eat the pancake of big dreams, and God was going to bring in the faith for it. And I was like starting to speak this out to them, and I know they thought I was a prophet because it sounded really good. But I was as surprised as they were that I had anything that God would, you know, I was in a heart condition that God could give me anything. Well, since then, it's been amazing. I don't think I press in enough for these things. And maybe you feel like that. You don't press in enough for everything that God wants to reveal to us, God wants to give to us through the Word, through pictures, dreams, visions that line up with the Word, and the Spirit speaking to us and leading us and so on. So this past week, we're having communion quite often. And she'll say, you know, "Do you see anything? What do you see?" And each time I've had a picture. And we both, still, even after all these years, we're still in awe that God would want to encounter us with these things. And I start to speak it out, and she starts asking me details about it. And most of the time, there aren't the details for me. It's more of an impression and a picture in front of my mind's eye. And she'll say, "Well, what did so-and-so look like?" And I just knew it was so-and-so. I mean, it wasn't as if, you know, I got, "Oh, yeah, they had a different hair color and they had gone, you know, gotten a shave," or, you know. I mean, it's not the thing for me. It's like the whole experience, the whole encounter. And sometimes the details are a little difficult for me to express. And then you'll hear someone else in here, and they'll give their encounter, their expression of what God is showing them in a picture, and they go on chapter and verse about every detail and what the person looked like and what they were wearing on their feet and what they were, you know, what they had in their hand and the whole scene. So he works differently in each of us. He's unique to each of us. None of us are going to encounter God in the same way. And the encounter brings the empower. You know, if we encounter his word, we believe it, we stand on it, and obey it, there's going to be things that happen. If we step into these things that are beyond, you know, what we probably feel comfortable with dreams, pictures, visions, experiences, encounters, being under the power of the Holy Spirit at times, we're going to come to a whole new place and be empowered to help others in a whole new way. He'll heal us up on the inside of things that have been holding us back. Mike and I met with someone yesterday, and it was just obvious. He's been held back by some of the things in his life that he's believed, lies, and so on, and he expressed some of them, and he knows they're lies, but he still can't get out of them. And we were able to bring him hope. and give him some of these dreams and visions that each of us is having, or experiences where God came in and rescued, like in Mike's mom's case, Mike McRae's mom, came in and just rescued that difficult, difficult situation because of encounters with the Lord, hearing from the Lord, being led by the Holy Spirit. So don't let the enemy tell you you've never had an encounter with God, because if you know Jesus Christ, you've had a born-again experience, that's an encounter. That is a solid encounter you want to go back to over and over and over and over again and review it and enjoy it and savor it and just say, God, wow, you encountered me. But then, of course, he wants to take it beyond that. He wants to keep on encountering us. He wants us to keep on engaging with him. He wants to come towards us. We need to go towards him. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. He doesn't say I might. He says he will. So if we draw near to him in whatever way that we're doing at the moment, prayer, reading the Bible, soaking in his presence while worship music is going on, engaging with worship here, engaging just in worshiping him at home, or receiving worship from some source that it'll go and dwell in our hearts if we're just not opening up our mouth to worship. He's wanting that more for us. And he likes it. He enjoys it. It pleases him when we want to come close to him in that way and receive from him. So we want to talk about that a little bit today. So we can put the quote up. The radical Christian life should be an ongoing conversation with Holy Spirit and an ongoing encounter of Jesus Christ. This activation of our spiritual potential will be an ongoing testimony that we can carry, and it will bring highest glory to the Father. We've talked often about hearing the Holy Spirit accurately, and if we do, we're going to end up in alignment with heaven, and favor will happen for our lives. The favor might be that we get to lose our life for Jesus. But, you know, there could be some suffering in it. There could be some persecution in it. But we're in alignment with heaven. And we're receiving all and having the destiny that God wants us to have. So an ongoing conversation. And he wants an ongoing encounter. He doesn't want us to say, well, I was born again in 1972 and give that testimony. And that's the only one we have. He wants us to give it. I'm convinced of that. More than we are. Start with that in many conversations when it starts to go on to a spiritual conversation. He'll want us to start with that. Because so often in Acts, they were doing that. Paul did it 3 times. In front of leaders. In front of those that could imprison him or take his life. He gave his testimony, his personal testimony. And so you have that already. You have that encounter. But he wants to take you on to the next encounters, the next level of encounters, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Some people are afraid of that. But, wow, in Acts, once it happened, everything changed. I mean, the church exploded into the known world after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So why in this day, when we need an explosion of the Holy Spirit in America, explosion in of the Holy Spirit across the earth, in India and in Africa, Brazil, why would we ever hold back from entering into that encounter with him? But he wants to take us into dreams and visions and things for our healing, things that will help deliver us on the inside so we can be freed up to be sent out to people and be effective. People that are bold oftentimes are healed up enough inside that they're trusting the Holy Spirit and forgetting about fear and all these things that hold many of us back. Someone that can go to a high school and walk in and start talking to the security guard and a principal, there's some healing on the inside that's probably happened, that they're able to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, know what to say, what to do, let it come out of their mouth, and then it brings life and change, and the king's heart turns like a channel of water. Each of us need that, don't we? More and more, don't we? Of course we do. And he's wanting to do that. That's the cool part. He wants it more for us than we want it from him. And it can change everything in our life. And then as we share these testimonies with others, it changes things in them. And they desire to have encounter with Jesus. Jesus is called the desire of the nations for a reason. But we have to give out the testimony of Jesus for the nations to desire him. That's our part. Give out the testimony of Jesus in Walmart or in Ghana. Give out the testimony of Jesus at the gas station or in Brazil. We need to be freed up to do that. We need to let that be right on our lips, ready at any point. And then you'll start seeing God do some incredible things that maybe they'll be talking about you at a conference. Who knows? So let's go to Revelation 1. Because guess what? The book of Revelation is one long encounter. It's a dream. It's a vision. However you want to look at it. Maybe some of it he was awake for. Maybe some of it came while he was asleep. I think most of it came while he was awake, but chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. One guy gets to have 22 chapters. Think of the privilege of that. One guy, one vision, an ongoing vision, and he gets to experience that. Awesome. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. It was given out by an angel to John, but Jesus speaks to him several times. Blessed is he who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all the saints that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. If the time was near back then, it's nearer now. And we need the revelation of Jesus Christ even more. Some call this revelations. You know, you hear that when people speak. But it's one revelation of who? Jesus Christ. And what's it for? Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. This is John receiving from an angel and Jesus himself at times something that is supposed to bless us in this time if we pay attention to it. And there are other visions and dreams in the Bible that if we pay attention to those encounters, we'll find a special blessing in our life, a special, you know, wow, I want to have those kinds of things going on in my life to overcome some of the junk that happens with my feelings, my emotions, my actions, my attitudes. My thought is that we work on these things. Some people, they strive to get better. And oftentimes it just takes a revelation of Jesus to have that actually work in our lives to the point that some of these habits and overcoming sins in our life are washed away by an encounter with him. Just like happened when we were born again. When you were born again, you felt, at least I did, and a lot of other people I know, you felt that all your sins were washed away on that day during that encounter. Your sins were paid for. All your sin was forgiven. It's no wonder that we loved that encounter with God. The first time we really gave our whole life to God, and he washes away all of our sin by his blood. He lets us know he paid for everything on the cross. And he released so many more things we didn't even understand on that day when we received him. We may have known that he released healing to us and to others. By your stripes, we're healed. We may not have understood that. I certainly didn't. It took quite a while before I realized, oh, the cross was about healing as well. About so many things. The release and activation of his 700 names and titles. Well, how do I keep that going? How do I keep that born-again experience going? Continue to have encounters with him. Continue to hear the Holy Spirit. Continue to be open to these encounters in our life. And some are more major than others. But if you carry Jesus everywhere you go and you're aware of him, you're kind of in an ongoing encounter. He says, pray always, you know, pray without ceasing. That's what it's talking about, an ongoing encounter. You're crying out to God. And what's he going to do? Well, you know, kind of be still in your heart and I'll speak to you. Even as you go through a crazy day. Don't make compartments. Well, this is the time I spend with God and I get still. And this is the time that I'm busy with life. And hopefully I think of him once in a while. No, it's supposed to be at any moment you can be still in your heart and say, God, encounter me. I want to encounter you. I need help here. I need leading here. I need guidance here. In writing up this contract or, you know, dealing with this customer or whatever it is. That we can be still in a moment. Just right with him, right back with him. But it helps if we're kind of have that attitude. I want to be carrying him, but not just carrying him because he's inside. Carrying him because I'm hearing him. I'm encountering him throughout my day. Think what that does for the people that we're with every day. They're going to know that we've, been with Jesus. Because we've just been with Jesus. Not because, we were born again in that experience, we were with Jesus, and we're kind of remembering that occasionally. And no, they're going to know it when we've been with Jesus up to date. And he can do that in us. He can bring us there. He can bring us that awareness. We just need to open up to him, and he'll do it. So John, he was overcome with his vision. Many times, if you read through the book of Revelation, he just like... Whoa! I mean, look at some of the things that he saw. People are still trying to figure out the signs and the symbols and the meanings and everything else. But basically, it boils down to Jesus is coming back. And he's not coming as a little baby in a manger this time. He's going to have eyes of fire. He's going to be the conqueror. He's going to be on the white horse. He's going to come in and we're going to join him. Whether we're in heaven, we're going to join him. Whether we're here on earth, we're going to join him in what's going to happen on the earth. Okay, that's the basic storyline. Pretty cool. I love it. Okay, you can work on all the details and the symbols and everything. I'm going to enjoy this awesome vision that John didn't understand, and we're not going to understand all of it. But when it's right there, we're going to say, there it is. There it is. Verses 9 through 11, chapter 1. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of the Lord and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and it doesn't mean Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and it goes on, and he starts into the vision, and he's overcome at times, he's blown away at, of course. It's a vision from God's heart to him, given through an angel and through Jesus himself here in this chapter 1. We can have encounters like that. Maybe they're not going to be as extensive as Revelation, But they could change a day upside down. They could change a season completely. People are going to start saying, oh, they've been with Jesus. And we didn't say a word. We didn't say a word. Years ago when my sister wasn't too open to Jesus, she told me, I don't want to hear any more about your testimony about Jesus Christ. So for about 10 years, I just lived it. I was 500 miles away, though. It's not real close to see. But she heard, and I visited. But I didn't directly tell her about Jesus. And my father passed away, and I was up in Michigan, and she called me, drunk. But she called me. And she said, I am sick and tired of you telling me about Jesus every time I see you, every time you're around, you're always telling me about Jesus. I hadn't said anything in 10 years. Who was telling her those things? The Holy Spirit. I was trying to live as radical as I could for Jesus. And just being around me and the Jesus inside of me, even if I didn't say anything, it was affecting her. That taught me something. That our witness is much greater than our mouth. Now, it's not that we shouldn't use our mouth. It does say preach. You know, it does say witness. It does say. And they did in Acts. And they do today. And the send is about opening your mouth. Sure, but you also, when you're just living for Jesus and you're going after him with your whole heart, it can shake your family. Because they're watching everything you do. They can't wait to find you doing something wrong if you're after Jesus. You might get along with them better and have a few beers if you know, you're worldly. And they won't be as mad at you. But if you go for Jesus and they don't want him, woo, look out. So that led later on to her being so affected by that testimony and the fact that I went to Africa and so on that she had a leg amputated, and I thought she's going to be mad at God. Boy, she didn't like him before. She didn't like me. She's going to be mad at God, but it actually opened her up to Jesus. And she would be out getting her prosthetic adjusted, because it has to be adjusted. Your leg changes. And so it had to be adjusted from time to time. And she would go in to get it adjusted at the office. And she'd be in there with many people that were war vets, because many of them have prosthetics. And she'd say, you ought to come over to my house. She was alone at the time, living alone. You should come over to my house and watch my crazy brother. That was a VCR back then. On the VCR. I got this videotape. He's over in Africa. It's crazy. You should come over. And so these vets would go over. She didn't even believe in Jesus. And the vets would go over to her house and watch as we, on the videotapes back then, it was all about the journey which gives the gospel. It was a drama, a 20-minute drama we did. And it was all about the gospel. And then we'd get up after the journey and preach and offer healing. Whether it was Mary Pat or myself or some other team member. It was mostly us back then. Look at my crazy brother. I'll take crazy. If you're hearing the gospel, you betcha. And so later on, she was in a circle at her home with Mary Pat in the circle. And Mary Pat led her in receiving Jesus. Now, she was not in the best place in life. She'd had 2 amputations by that time. And then the day before she died, she recommitted her life to Christ. Just so easily. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm 500 miles away. How can I have that kind of effect? You do without knowing it in your family. And their time is coming to see Jesus as the desire of the nations and the desire of their heart. Believe for that. Trust in that. But continue to encounter Jesus. Continue to go after his heart. Continue to be after the Spirit of God. And he sent and signified by his angel, Jesus' angel, God's angel, to his servant John, God's servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus to all things that he saw. Some things you're going to see. Oh, I can't see Jesus in this day. He's not here in his physical form. You can see Jesus in this day. And some of you send me communication about that, how you've seen Jesus, how you've encountered Jesus, how you've had a word, a picture, a dream. Some of you tell me your testimony from being born again. All those things, let them come out of our lips more and more often, because the world out there is getting desperate for a word from their maker. Desperate. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on an island called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John got it. I got to receive this. It's going to be important. He felt he was on holy ground on this island of Patmos. And so he received the full revelation of Jesus Christ and has given it out to the church today. Far beyond these churches that are mentioned in the passage. We've received it today. And it says if you read through it, just reading through it gives you a blessing. Wow. Reading through a revelation that God has given gives us a blessing. Going over your personal testimony of receiving Jesus gives you a blessing. Think of that. What he's revealed to you brings an extra special blessing when you kind of meditate on that and think about that. Wow, I was in a desperate place. I needed Jesus, and I needed to invite him into my life, and I did, but I was responding to the pulling, the wooing of Jesus. I know I wasn't the big shot in that situation. I was on my knees. I was in receiving mode, and I desperately needed his touch. And he gave it. And I was born again. Let's go to Revelation 19. I'm supposed to be moving faster through this because there's some fun at the end. But I love this. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Alleluia! You know, you hear Alleluia and Hallelujah and all that over and over again. In some churches, they really go after, you know, everything's a hallelujah, 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 amen. Well, they're doing it in heaven. So get ready. If you think you heard a lot of hallelujahs, hallelujahs down here, wait for up there. And you're going to be looking at him and just, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's going to be awesome. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. John 1, verses 1 and 14. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Woohoo! And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If someone thinks this is some kind of fairy tale, or this is a pretty cool story, much more than that. John encountered what we're going to encounter. Think how he was blown away by that. Centuries ago, he encountered what we're going to encounter in fullness. He saw it in a vision. We're going to see it face to face. We're going to see it happen right in front of our eyes. Woo! Come on. It's not a fairy tale. Jesus is real. Changed my life. How about you? And, you know, if he hasn't yet, you're on your way. You're on your way. People are praying for you. People are being an example in front of you. Open your eyes to see it. Because Jesus is the only worthy one following. He's the only one that can make chicken hearts like me bold. Thank you, Jesus. If you knew what I was like as a young man, up in an attic, playing sad songs on a guitar I barely knew how to play, writing sad poetry, loved rainy days. I even opened the window up, let the rain come in on me as I slept. Grew my hair out so it, you know, I could soak it in the rain. Make sure it's not a sunny day. Didn't like those. I like the rainy days. And wrote the sad poetry on the rainy days. Sunny days couldn't write sad poetry. Too bright. Write it on the rainy days. Snowy in Michigan. Freezing. I did shut the window. I was destined to be a hermit. And now I'm going to the nations. Come on. How did that happen? Same thing happened to you. It's just not reached the fullness yet. Oh, but you're on your way. And you could be up here saying some of the same things. I did this one. I did this. But now I don't do that. I do these crazy things. That's Jesus. That's an encounter with Jesus. And John felt the same way. You're in good company. And now I lost my train of thought, but I'll get back to it. Revelation 19:10, and I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. This is an angel, that's why. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know what this angel's saying? We're doing the same encountering in heaven. We're just fellow journeyers. We're just together on this. I have a different role. I'm in heaven. I get to encounter all the time. That's why I'm revealing this to you, because I'm just speaking what God wants me to give to you. But you're having an encounter. Don't worship me. The encounter didn't come from me. I'm just the mouthpiece. And the same thing will happen with you. You know, they tried to worship some of the apostles that first started giving out the gospel, and they saw them heal. And they had to say, get up, just like this angel. Get up, get up. What are you doing? Don't worship me. I'm just the one that he flows through. I'm just the channel. I'm just the vessel. I have so much to learn. I'm just like you. Except I've opened up myself to an encounter with him, and now he works through me. I'm a blessed man, but don't worship me. And the angel says, don't worship me. We're all just encountering. We're all just giving out the testimony of Jesus. But here's one thing that's a difference. The angels can't give out the gospel. You can. But angels aren't allowed. Think of it. A whole army of angels hitting the earth. Wouldn't that be better than even a bunch of people go out in the streets in Orlando? Angels going out in the streets. Some of them stories high. And they suddenly, the veil is gone. And here they are standing next to the buildings. That would make an impression. And then they say, come to Jesus. Wouldn't that make an impression? But God says, nope. You guys, us. What? I could come up with a better plan than that, God. You're going to use a bunch of weak people like us to give out the gospel? Yes, because in your weakness, when I show myself strong, it'll be a whole lot better than angels. Being, you know, big and tall and all that. God knows better. Glad he's not following my plan. Those in heaven have the testimony of Jesus, and we carry the testimony of Jesus. As we give testimonies of our encounters with Jesus and what he reveals to us about himself, they will know that we've been with Jesus. Anyone we're around eventually will know we've been with Jesus, especially if we love. Yeah, you gotta love. But love with the encounter that you've had with Jesus, not just your own loves, too little, too small. Your faith's too small, my faith's too small, all of our love is too small. We need the encounter with Jesus to actually activate the love of God through us to other people. We can't, you know, just kind of have the feelings of compassion. Oh, I just feel so much compassion now that I'm in the mission field and I'm with this child. And, oh, this child has so many needs. I'm just feeling the compassion. Oh, you. It's nice. But the compassion of Jesus, you'll know exactly what to speak into that child to help them come out of whatever they're facing. If we simply commiserate with people in their struggle in life, without giving the testimony of Jesus, then they will assume that we are like them and haven't been with Jesus. Some people think, well, I'll just listen to people's problems and I'll just try to support them with a few encouraging words. But you're not giving your encounters with Jesus, you're not releasing what Jesus has done this week for you. They're just going to eventually think, oh, they're a nice person. You don't want them to focus on you or me. You want them to focus on Jesus and how powerful he is. So you got to share his testimony like John. Like the angels share among themselves. Probably trying to outdo each other with hallelujahs. Let's go to Revelation 12. Then we can get to the fun stuff. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 12. Sometimes I just keep on reading, so you might have to stop me. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out. You're supposed to say, woo! And that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, in case you didn't know who the dragon was, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. boom, out of heaven. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. Now we've heard that verse quoted. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. If the devil is increasing in these days on the earth, it's because he has a short time. He's trying to really come hard. But, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Certainly that's your salvation testimony. And ongoing applying the blood to your life. The blood of Jesus. That certainly has something to do with communion, doesn't it? Reminding ourselves, Jesus paid a price that I could live. It'll change the way we think about ourselves daily. If we have on our hearts and our minds, Jesus paid a price. And by the word of their testimony, overcoming the enemy has a lot to do with speaking out what God is doing and what he's already done. And letting the enemy know, not taking your lies. Not going to be, fooled by you. Your schemes aren't working with me. Your schemes aren't working with the tribe that I'm part of. Because I'm giving out your testimony to help purify them. You know, the purification last week, that message. By speaking your testimony to somebody else, you're helping them be purified in Jesus because they get right back to what matters. They get right back to being in alignment with Jesus, alignment with heaven. So, don't go around thinking, well, they've heard my testimony, here. They forget it. I'm telling you, all these people, including me, they forget your testimony. I've told people my testimony that I know I told my testimony to before, and they were going, they saw new things in it. Just like the word of God. It's his encounter, not my testimony. He encountered me much more than I encountered him. He was the one that transformed me much more than I was changing myself, of course. I can't change myself. So when we give that out, you're giving out life. So even here, if you have to practice here, tell somebody your testimony. Tell them how you came to know the Lord. Tell them how you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Tell them some encounter that's fresh and new that Jesus is doing in your life. Well, I don't have any right now. After this message, you will. After I entered into some times of communion with Mary Pat, pop, 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 these pictures were just flowing, doing something a little different, encountering Jesus, putting ourselves out there, presenting ourselves out there for encounter. And then what goes out of our life? Fear, number one. When you're encountering Jesus, were you fearful on the day of your being born again? When you were in the presence of God receiving Jesus for the first time and you said, Jesus, I need you. I finally get it. I've heard about you. I've heard many messages. I've been in church, but I haven't given my life to you. I even played around with it a little bit, kind of prayed the prayer but didn't mean it, didn't walk it out. I got baptized a couple different times, but didn't change anything. I wasn't a witness for you. I wasn't an example for you, but I know this particular time you came in and you really got down to business with me and you completely transformed me. Remind Jesus of how wonderful it is that you're born again. How wonderful it is that you've come into encounters with him. Some of the Brazil team had encounters on the mission field they maybe didn't have anywhere else because they were tuned into each other as a team. They were on a mission together, and they didn't have a lot of the distractions that they normally would have here. Great. Take that as a springboard into where the distractions are the strongest. And let's not say we can only have encounters on the mission field. No. They're supposed to be happening in this crazy life to help us face this crazy life. So I was with some pastors this week, and the topic was encounter with Jesus, being born again, and so on. And I started talking to them about, isn't it great that we're born? Yeah, and they were talking to me, too. I wasn't the only voice in the room, but when I had my chance, I said, yeah, it's great. Yeah, I love these testimonies. And they were giving testimonies about being born again, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, all these different things, telling where they had come from, encountered Jesus, and now where they are because of Jesus. It's awesome. And then I brought up about an ongoing encounter with Jesus Christ. And the look in the room was like, I have never thought about that. Now, these are leaders. So I knew why I was there. Because I was having encounters, you know, the day before, the day of, and so on. And I encouraged us all to go after fresh encounters with God. It kind of changed the flow of what we were talking about. Because it's a strategy group, and they want to teach the people to get close to God and go out to the streets and win more people to Jesus and so on. But they forgot that it's not just what's happened in the past. It has to be happening now. We have to be encountering Jesus now to make it real, to give us that desire to even take him anywhere. A fresh desire, a fresh encounter, a fresh revelation of who he is. I didn't know it was going to be that way when I started speaking, but as I looked at their faces, I thought, that's a good thing I came to this meeting. And it's a good thing you're teaching me. I'm just a little child, God, I'm learning. I don't have this all down, but I'm sure excited about fresh encounters with you. It was just fun to share with them. They received it. It wasn't like, oh, you know it all, you think. No, they received it. And we just enjoyed it together. That's the season God wants to bring us all into as leaders. We have to be encountering as leaders in order to be the firebrand to help you encounter. That's what I'm doing today. I'm being a firebrand to you. I'm relighting some things for you. You love the encounters, but we forget. We're forgetful people. I'm a forgetful people, and I'm just one. So, with this in mind, and they overcame the accuser, him, the accuser. They overcame the accuser. He's going to accuse us to death, and we're going to get discouraged. If we don't use the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. That's the name of that tune. Isn't that great? We have the strategy how to kick the enemy in the teeth. Use the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we're going to do a little bit of that. We've asked some people to prepare a little testimony for you to enjoy. You thought you were going to have to listen to me the whole time. Surprise, surprise! And so Andy's going to come up and give us a testimony about, now this is 5 to 7 minutes. Now remember Andy, so pray for him. He learned from his pastors. And so, you know, he knows the challenge and so do I. 5 to 7 minutes, you know, don't look at your watch. But that's his, because there are other people that are going to share. Going to tell us about his time of receiving Jesus, being born again.
Long story short. The Lord was pursuing me. I grew up in the church, but then I was in a season of straight up deliberate rebellion and stepping into all the forms of rebellion and drugs and alcohol and being as sacrilegious as I could be and going out of my way to do that. And I was challenged one day by my brother who was walking with the Lord, just freshly had given his life back to the Lord, and he said, you know, you need to give your life to Jesus. And I was like, no, I had all my arguments. I had all the reasons why I wasn't going to be a Christian. But something that he just caught me off guard, and he said, the devil's blinded you, and you're deceived, and you're completely hoodwinked. And he's like, I have to deal with the devil. You don't, because he's just got you completely bamboozled. And that really frustrated me, because I thought I'm a young, smart individual who also has a habitual drug problem. But I'm on top of my game mentally, even if I'm in situations where I didn't know if people were literally making fun of me to my face because I was so out of it mentally. And in the midst of all of that, this simple prayer came up, and it was, Jesus, if you're real and you're true, prove it to me. And over a 2-month period of time, Jesus chased me down. Everywhere I was at, no matter if I was getting high with my friends, the music that I was listening to, no matter what it was, Jesus showed up and was just wooing me with his heart of love, like, hey, I'm drawing you. I'm drawing you. And I remember deliberately and specifically saying, no, I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up what I'm doing. I don't want to give these things up. But he just kept coming. He kept coming. He kept coming. I'd tell my friends, I can't stop thinking about Jesus. And they'd say, just smoke more weed. And I was like, that's not working. I'm still thinking about Jesus. He just kept coming. And all of my friends, none of us were believers. None of us, we grew up in the church, but none of us were walking with him. And it was like this pressure was building, building, building. And Jesus just kept relentlessly coming after me and showing, like, Andy, I love you. There was no condemnation. There was nothing like that. His heart was, you know, he was just continual love. And I kept pushing him away, and the love just kept coming. And it all came to this head, this, like, pressure. Everything came to a head where I realized, wait a minute, he answered my prayer, even though I didn't want him to. But I did want him to. Like, it's kind of like that catch-22. But he answered my prayer when he didn't have to. He just kept coming, kept coming, kept coming. And what I realized, and what by his grace he revealed to me, was that he had done something for me that nobody else could ever do. He died for me. He died for my sin. He died to make my life complete and whole. And he brought this revelation of, Andy, if I'm not on the inside of you, you're not even really living life. You're not even really living life until I'm on the inside of you, until I breathe my spirit into your spirit and you become alive. And that was a little bit eye-opening, because I'm like, well, I got some things going on. And he's like, no, you don't. You're dead on the inside. Because you're never going to reach the fullness of what I created you to be unless I'm on the inside of you. And not only, hey, if I'm on the inside of you, but your life is fully surrendered and committed to me 100%. And that was hard, because it's like, well, I have all these things and these affections, and I listen to this kind of music and everything else and all of that. And the Lord's like, but in all of that, when he showed me who he was, and that he answered my prayer and he kept coming after me and kept pursuing me, I had to say yes to him, because you love me that much, even though I know that you were pushing me away. I'm like, you're different than anybody else. And the way that he spoke to me, the way that he revealed himself to me, was letting me know that he knew who I was. Because the gospel message is the gospel message, but he tailored it and put it in such a way that I could not deny that he was real. And in that moment, it just washed away any of the other, like, arguments and thoughts and everything else. And the moment I said yes to him, I remember I was, you know, driving down the freeway, and it's just like, I said yes, and my heart broke open, and I was just bawling my eyes down on 77, going south back to my studio apartment where I live by myself, and I'm just crying my eyes out. I remember I called my friend, and I'm like, don't I need to, like, go to church and go to respond to the altar call and go up front so it's official and everything else? And he's like, I'll be over there in a little bit. And he came over and he's like, you don't need any of that. You already did it. You prayed, you gave your life to him. And it was so, like, everything changed from that point onward, and just his ability to come in, I mean, set me free from all of the drugs instantly, and almost within, you know, maybe a week of giving my life to him, I realized I can't even believe I used to think another way. Because he just came in and transformed my mind and renewed like my thinking, which was just so incredible, because it kept coming back to, like, I don't deserve this. I do not deserve any of this, because I willfully, like, didn't want you. And you still kept coming. He's like, yeah, you might not want me, but I want you. And actually, you do want me. You just don't realize it yet. And everything from that point has been amazing. And then, just, of course, one last thing. I love what Pastor Will was sharing about, like, the testimony. And I mean, the Lord's in charge of heaven, and he can run it however he does. So I don't know if when we get there, we'll just get, like, a download of everything ever. Or if he'll slowly, like, reveal things over time. Like, you know, I'd like to see history from the beginning of man until the end, everything that happened. But I think that there might be a time, because we have eternity. Can you imagine, like, every single believer that would have an opportunity to get up and share their testimony of how Jesus worked in their life? And each person's testimony is different and unique, and each person's testimony will reflect a different aspect of God's heart and faithfulness. And he isn't saying that so-and-so's testimony is better than this one, because each one reflects a unique aspect of his heart. And we get to honor and celebrate who Jesus is in their life and bring him glory. And that's going to be phenomenal. So if I can make an appeal, Lord, that we could do that in one of the millennia, I would be thankful. But you're running the show, so it could just come instantly, and you could see somebody and know their testimony, and, you know, it happens in a second. And we have other things to do, so.
Well, the testimonies wouldn't have to be 5 to 7 minutes. That'd be kind of nice. There was a pastor that gave his testimony this week. His wife went to a church, received the Lord. And so he didn't want to be in the doghouse. She was inviting him to come the next week. And he said, I didn't want to be in the doghouse, so I went to church. And he said, but I knew, you know, God and I, you know, we were on a speaking basis. He said, so, you know, it was good. You know, I went to church and didn't feel out of place because we were on a speaking basis. He said, but then my wife went forward. She had a physical problem, and she wanted prayer at the front of the church. And I thought, well, got to be the good husband. Go up there and just kind of, you know, be with her while they're praying and so on. So he goes up, and they're praying for her, and he's saying, God, you know, we're on a speaking basis, you know, help my wife. As he starts to do that, the Lord says to him, you're not in a good place. Lord, but we're on a speaking basis. I know I'm not in a good place, but we're on a speaking basis. He says, no, you're really not in a good place. He starts bawling at the altar, crying at the altar. He's so long at the altar, they have to carry him to another room. He's bawling in there for a season. He's completely laid out, just completely overcome. And God is just tearing him limb from limb in a good way. They take him out to his car. They put him in his car. His wife drives him home. They get him inside, and he's on his bed for like hours after that, just crying and crying and repenting and enjoying the presence of God and having this incredible encounter with God. You know, everybody's testimony is going to be different about this. Maybe yours was a quiet, you know, and the Lord came in and, oh, yeah, he's there. He's receiving. But other people's, you know, is going to be a little more filled with action. So Troy is going to come and talk about a testimony of baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is fun, isn't it? Oh, you can't say it too loud because I'd be preaching during this time, but.
I mean, I can do it without, but then I'll be asked to say it again. So so my testimony is really similar to Andy's, sort of. I grew up in the church. I was around a lot of weed, and I would pull them out of the mulch beds as I was working for my brother's lawn service. And so, you know, came to the Lord at an early age, and, you know, when I was 13, really had this opportunity about giving God everything, you know, just make him, you know, give him 100%. And then didn't do any of the as obvious rebellious type things, but just general rebellion and hidden rebellion, but, you know, none of the here I am rebellion. But when I was got into college and I was 18 and fell in love with the Word of God, and it was through my unbelieving roommates that helped. They were the best accountability partners I'd ever had, and they would know if I didn't read, so I would read the Bible every night to be a witness to them, and then in the midst of it, I fell in love with the Word of God. So a couple years later, it was 1996, and I was in my junior year of college, and I was reading the Bible, and I was reading through Acts, and I was reading Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and it says, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And I got stuck right there at the "and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And I was like, well, I'm not seeing this in my life. I'm like, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong or anything in particular. I'm trying to run after Jesus. I'm telling people about Jesus. I'm being friendly and loving and all that kind of stuff. But I got to that, and I'm like, man, I don't see that power in my life. I don't see people getting touched. I, you know, have things that I'm still struggling with. I'm like, man, well, the Bible says I'm going to receive power that I can walk in freedom, and I'm not feeling like I'm walking in a whole lot of freedom. So for me, I'm a little slower than some people. Andy gets radically saved, and, you know, everything just happens in like a week for him. For me, I'm like, I'm this six-month process of just, I'm in the Word, and I'm like, what does it mean to receive the power of the Holy Spirit? What is this? You know, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'd never really heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'd read the scriptures, but I'd just be full of the Holy Spirit, you know, whatever. You know, and that realizing that when I got saved, I was sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he lives inside of me. And that was a different thing to realize more and more, that he was a he, he's not an it, he's not a thing, he's not a the, but he's Holy Spirit. He's Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's the person of part of the Godhead. And so I don't know why I keep grabbing my phone. So I'm in the 6-month process, and it takes me to different churches around the area. I grew up in a evangelical Christian church that, you know, preached the gospel and, you know, believed generally in a lot of different things, but, you know, didn't really, this whole thing of baptism and the Holy Spirit, I didn't really have any encountering there about that at that time. And so I went to some different churches. I saw some things that at the time I thought, oh my goodness, I saw someone going through deliverance, and I'm like, this cannot be Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, that was unique. Looking back on it years later, I'm like, well, I think I've been a part of a lot more interesting things than that. So, and seen it and said, wow, that's God. He's bringing freedom. So, it was, you know, some judgment started forming, like, oh my gosh, what is that? So just different, unique experiences. And so it lands me. And in the middle of this is when the Lord connected me with Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat in terms of going on a mission trip. I had known Pastor Mary Pat was my Bible teacher. I had no idea that she knew anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit herself. I had no clue about anything dealing with Holy Spirit things and gifts and anything. I didn't, but I stood up for it and that it was real, but I had no idea what it was. In the middle of this, you know, so that was like November of 96. In December of 96, the Lord connected me. I stopped by to just visit, and it happened to be dinner, and it happened to be spaghetti, which it usually was. Every time I'd come over, I thought that's the only thing they ate there for the longest time. I mean, anytime I would drop by, it was spaghetti. So I dropped in. They asked me to go to Guatemala, and I'm like, what's that? It's always dinner time. I'm not smart. I mean, I'm not dumb. I'm smart. I know when to stop by. But anyways, my point's about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But anyways, I didn't have any clue that they were into any of that stuff. And the Lord connected. I'm going to go. And next thing I know, a week later, I'm going to Guatemala. And the Lord's made it very clear. And he's still hearing the voice of God, still hearing Holy Spirit, but not that fullness and just release the Holy Spirit. So I end up in this, you know, mission trip down in Panama City Beach with the Baptist Student Union. And God connects me with these five people, one of which goes to this Mennonite, ex-Mennonite church that the Holy Spirit had come to like 20, 30, 40 years earlier or something. And so we have this amazing week and I go down to visit them. So this is like May of 1997. So 6 months in on this search, I'm still in the Bible. I'm reading these books about the Holy Spirit and you by the Tony and Rita Bennett. Jack Hayford, all these different, well, I don't even think Jack Hayford, that was after me. I mean, he was alive before me, but that was after me. But anyways, so I get to this weekend, I go down for this lock-in at this campus at the University of Rio Grande, and I'm talking to my friend, and I'm like telling him about my process, and he's like, I got all the Holy Spirit I can handle. And I was like, I don't know, this is my early warning device to know how far in I am. I'm at 5 minutes, so I got two left. And Lawrence is timing me. Anyways, that's my timer. So I'm like, well, I just want whatever the Lord has for me, I just want everything he has. If it's going to make me more effective in leading people to the Lord, I want that. And so that's Friday. I was supposed to leave Saturday. I didn't leave Saturday, didn't leave Sunday, didn't leave till Monday sometime at like 5 a.m. to get to work on time or to school on time. So anyways, I'm at this ex-Mennonite church, and my friend was on the worship team, so we went Sunday evening early so he could do worship practice, and the pastor comes over and is chatting with me, and I'm telling him a little bit about my process, and he said, well, the worship team's playing. I mean, if you want, we could just go right up here and just, ask God to do that, baptize you in the Spirit and just trust him for the, speaking in tongues and all that, the Lord can release all that. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I just know that if I do that, it's crossing the line. Like, when you do that, there's this big line of, like, you're stepping in from where I came from, you're stepping into a whole different thing. And it's in the Word. I see it everywhere. It makes sense to my mind, but my heart was like, oh, my goodness, if I go up there, this is the end of normal. This is the end of normal me. This is the end of normal. I'm in that realm where the world's like, you are crazy. And so, like, I literally sat there and just thought about it, like, okay, yes. I mean, it's 6 months, I should be, I mean, I knew what I was, it was 6 months, I should know, but it was that moment of crossing the line. So I crossed the line, went up to the altar, and the worship team's playing, and I'm just like, Jesus, I just want everything. Well, Holy Spirit, I want you released in me. I want you to fill me up and overflowing. I want that release of power. I want freedom, of everything that's holding me back, in my walk with you. And so I just, I'm just crying out to the Lord, and he's just like singing in tongues over me, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying, but that was the point. And I I got done praying and asking, and I was like, okay, this is the point. So I just started speaking, and God just filled my mouth, and just filled my mouth with these words I didn't know, and my mind's like, what in the world are you doing? But from that point on, within a month, I saw some of those things I've been struggling with for years just break off. And about a month later or so was when, 2 months later, I was in Guatemala, and it was the first time I ever saw anyone healed. And, we were in this amphitheater in the capital city of Guatemala, and this man who couldn't close his hands had just given his life to the Lord, prayed to receive the Lord. And then we prayed with Pastor Mary Pat for God to heal his hand. He just closes his hand and just starts crying as God healed him. And I began to see people getting saved more and more and more. And just, just that release of Holy Spirit that he wants to do, that releases, it's so much bigger than me. It's about him and his kingdom. It's about people encountering Holy Spirit, encountering the power of Holy Spirit. So baptism of the Spirit's awesome. If you haven't jumped into it, don't take 6 months. Just jump right on in.
Don't take 6 months. So if you're interested in some testimonies out of the Bible itself, Paul's testimonies, I can give you those scriptures so you can kind of look at those and meditate on those passages. It's Acts 9, verses 1 through 22, Acts 22, 3 through 16, Acts 26, 4 through 23. To repeat, Acts 9, 1 through 22, Acts 22, 3 through 16, Acts 26, verses 4 through 23. And you can keep on reading, these are just the basic part of the passage that he testifies. And Peter's testimony, where he had the vision that changed the direction of the church. A vision
changed the direction of the church to reach out to Gentiles was in Acts 10, 9 through 22. Interesting about that passage is that Cornelius was divinely instructed by a holy angel to send some guys and say, hey, I need Peter to come talk to us. And so he gets an instruction from an angel to go to Peter, and Peter at the same time is getting a vision from the Lord to connect with that. So sometimes these things work together. So just think about that. If you're not even seeking for an encounter with God, there may be somebody else that's receiving the encounter that, you know, they're obedient, they receive it, and they're waiting to connect with you. They're waiting on you to have your encounter so they can finish their connection with theirs. Just kind of an added little, you know, kick for all of us to be open to the Lord. So Amanda's going to come, and she's going to talk about a testimony of encounter, and we'll let her describe it.
Okay. Oh, boy. Well, thank you for asking me to share. So I'm going to share, I'm going to try to keep the time, because we know I'm verbose as well. I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony. So one of the big ways that I've encountered the Lord is through, you know, many ways. This is just one aspect that, you know, we were talking about, is through inner healing. And when I say inner healing, I mean allowing the Lord into those places we've pushed down where there's pain and disappointment, hurt, trauma, or sin, hidden sin. And trusting the Lord, and maybe trusting a prayer partner who's experienced and mature in this area, to go into those deep caverns of your heart and allow the Lord to come in and allow Him to speak truth and to speak love. And there often is repentance and forgiveness involved. And through that, there's a great depths of healing and wholeness and restoration that the Lord ministers to us. So I grew up with the Lord. You know, I knew the Lord since I was a little girl. But about 10 years ago when I joined Frontline, I was at a place where I was smoking a lot of weed. And, just a lot of, involved in a lot of sin. I was very broken, had a lot of baggage. I was one of those people where when you'd see me walking around, it was like I was weighted down by all the baggage and the brokenness I was carrying. So when I rededicated my life to the Lord in college and got involved with Frontline, the Lord started taking me through an inner healing process. But then that got interrupted because I entered into some really deep sin and rebellion that actually took me away from the Lord and took me away from Frontline for a year or two. And then the Lord, in His amazing goodness, stopped me when I started experiencing really significant emotional issues and spiritual warfare as a result of the sin and the rebellion that I had stepped into, and brought me back to Frontline, brought me back to Jesus. And then I started entering back into a process of healing and deliverance. So it was a mixture of inner healing and deliverance. And there were times where it seemed like it was impossible for me to get free and the enemy would just keep coming at me. But the Lord, His word says that He frees us, that He is our healer and He is our deliverer. And even when I would look around and I would say, I don't know anyone who's gotten free from this, but nevertheless, Lord, You said, Your word says that You will heal me and You will deliver me by the blood of the Lamb. And then the Lord, in my quiet times as I would encounter Him, would remind me that He would heal me. I had an encounter the one day on the worship team where, and I've shared about this before, but He showed me, it was like He had sprawled my whole body out, like the insides. And I believe that represented those inner places of brokenness. And He was painting the insides of me with a paintbrush. He was painting me in His blood. He was soaking me in the blood of the Lamb. And there was like this fear of the Lord and this voice. And He said, why do you doubt me? Why do you doubt me? Because I was doubting Him that He was going to free me, because at that point it had been 2 years of contending for freedom from all the spiritual warfare and all the brokenness and all this stuff that just kept coming up. Why do you doubt me? And that has stuck with me. And, you know, I've just continued to pursue the Lord in the place of encounter. I've continued, even to this day, you know, I went through some prayer on Friday morning. But I've continued to pursue that place of inner healing. It started out first as, I just want to be free. I just want to be free. I don't want to have to deal with this. But now it's gone more to that place of, you know, Lord, I want to be in a place of purity. I don't want to have hidden sin. I don't want to have hidden places of bitterness and brokenness. I want to be close to you so that I can love you, so that I can love my husband and my family, and really so that I can hear you more accurately and be more powerful in the place of ministry. And it's been a really amazing, and I can, you know, I can stand here today and say, I'm free. I'm the freest I've ever been. And sometimes, you know, we want to, and I used to do this, we want to walk around and like wear our brokenness as like a badge of honor. And there, you know, I sometimes even see that in the church and in ministry, that like we want to connect with people by like, yeah, I'm broken too. You know, it's true. Like I went through difficult things in my life that caused brokenness, but I am the freest I've ever been. And there are people in this room here that have walked with me through that and can testify to that with me, that God is a healer and he is a redeemer. He's a restorer of the breach. So it's just been amazing. It's been an amazing journey, and I don't regret it. Even all of the sin, and all, you know, I don't regret it, because I have this testimony that no one can take away from me. Bitterness and unforgiveness, they can root inside of us. The word says that a bitter root defiles much. You know, when we allow bitterness to settle, sometimes it can settle so far deep within our hearts that we forget that it's even there, and we push it down, and then we continue to just go through life like everything's fine, and we put a smile on. But it's not. Even like how to pray out effectively to renounce and to break our agreements with judgments against people who have hurt us, and how to release them, and about how we put, you know, how to take them to the cross and give them to Jesus. And, you know, why do we forgive people even when they've passed away? Well, we forgive, you know, we pray and we to forgive people even though they're not here anymore and we can't physically look them in the eye and say, I forgive you. You know, it's because we want to get right with Jesus, because Jesus went to the cross and he died for that. And so when we're holding someone in unforgiveness, it's sin, you know. And so we need to forgive those people, but we also need to repent to the Lord for that area of sin. That's been my experience, that inner healing is not something that I did once 10 years ago, but often, as the Lord leads, it's an ongoing process. When we have pain that we go through, we blame God. And I know that I've had to repent of that many times. And sometimes we don't want to be honest with ourselves because we think God's going to be angry with us for us judging him, but he sees everything. Like, he knows. He's not upset with us about that. He just wants us to recognize it and repent it so that we can be back in close relationship with him. So all of these things that are revelations that the Lord has led me to, even in the past 3 years, were things that, you know, if you knew where I was 10 years ago, or even if you knew where I was 4 years ago to where I am now, and Ash is laughing too. Probably many people are giggling, but it's just so amazing. Like, God is so good, and he is truly faithful. And if you continue to stand in that place of, you know, I'm not seeing the freedom here, but nevertheless, I'm going to continue to stand, and I'm going to keep asking, Lord, please heal me, please free me, whatever the journey is. If you continue to keep asking the Lord for those things you're contending for, he will be faithful to bring you through that journey. That is who he is. That is his nature. And, you know, we can't stand for anything less than that. So. Woo!
Okay, so we have one last encounter testimony. Well, it won't be the last one, but the last one for right now. And so Rachel's going to come and share with us.
So just thinking about, you know, an encounter with the Lord that I've had recently, just wanted to share the story of praying through something and having the Lord, you know, guide me in it. And Troy, so you can jump in. It's kind of Troy's story too, so you can jump in if anything's. But so a lot of things are going on with Troy's with Troy's work right now. It's a really a lot of things are happening, and so right around New Year's, he was considering hiring, he did hire one vet and then a veterinarian. Troy's a veterinarian. He has a clinic. And then he was considering hiring a second one. And he had been needing to hire someone for a long time and put out, you know, advertisements for that and nothing. And then all of a sudden had two responses. And he told me, wow, it looks like, you know, this might be the Lord or might not be the Lord. You know, it seems like all the pieces fit together to have both veterinarians. The one wants to work here at, you know, and starting at this time. The other one wants to work here starting at this time. You know, that's perfect. That's just what I need. You know, is this the Lord or is this not? And so he was asking me to pray through it with him. And he wanted me to go along on the interview and to meet her. And we're just asking the Lord, you know, Lord, is this you or not you? Because, definitely if it's you, we want to be all for it. If it's not you, we want to know. And so had the interview and had a, like, as we were talking, everything seemed good. I mean, I could see her fitting in well with the atmosphere at Troy's work and, you know, just him working with her well. And it all, you know, I'm like, wow, this, you know, seems really good. And I had one little moment where, when we talk about having a red flag, like the Lord saying, ah, caution, you know, just one little, you know, red flag, but then kind of went on the conversation, everything seemed great. And so we went home and still continued thinking, praying about it, decided to offer to hire her. And so try to move forward with that. And they were, working through the contract. So they're at the stage where they've been going back and forth, answering questions about working through the contract. Like, he's already presented it to her, and she's asking about certain things, and they're talking back and forth about the terms of the contract. And he was talking to her about that very thing, kind of late at night. And and as he's talking to her, I suddenly, that red flag comes back, like, really strong. And I'm like, oh no, I'm really hesitant about this right now, but we're in this, you know, last stage process. He's supposed to get back to her at this point, like, tomorrow with a written, you know, agreement. And I don't want to be that one who comes in, you know, at the last minute again and is like, no, the Lord's saying stop. I really don't want to be that person right now, but I feel the Lord saying, you know, red flag. And so I didn't even get to tell him that at that that night. I think we had a sick kid wake up suddenly or something, and I couldn't even tell him. So then he had to leave early in the morning for another meeting. And so he calls me on the way to go into work. And I'm like, so Troy, actually, you know, I really think, nah, I have this, you know, hesitation about this. And he's like, well, all right, she's not expecting to hear back from me until tonight. So let's pray about it tonight. And, you know, we'll talk again this evening. So I'm like spending all day trying to, not all day, I have kids as well, but, you know, I'm trying to pray and, you know, flipping through the Bible, like, Lord, give me something about, you know. And so he comes home from work, and we get all the kids to bed and sit down on the couch, and he's like, okay, so you know, what are you thinking? I'm like, I'm kind of feeling this, but I kind of, you know, kind of found this in the Bible, but I'm not really sure if that, you know. And he's like, well, let's just pray and, you know, ask Lord, is there a reason that we should not hire her? And so we did, and I hear yes. And he's like, so what are you hearing? I'm like, I hear yes. And he's like, you know, why? And so we're praying through, and we're sitting and talking and praying through it. And the Lord, you know, gave me like a specific word saying like, no. And so then he comes back and says, well, actually, I heard the Lord also say not to hire her, you know, as we're sitting here, but I just wanted to hear you say, you know, say what the Lord, I'm like, ah, Troy. And so so then it was, again, late at night. There's a theme in the Larson household. So late at night, we actually called Pastor Bill and asked for advice, because we were talking through, like, well, how do we tell her at this point? You know, she's expecting to get hired. You know, we've been in dialogue, and, you know, and Troy's like, well, I think at this point the only thing we can say is, you know, we don't have a piece about it. You know, we can't move forward. And I'm like, oh, she's going to, you know, this is going to be, like, really upsetting to her. And so we called Pastor Bill and said, hey, we're trying to, you know, figure out how to respond to her. And so talked through it. And Pastor Bill's like, you know, actually, from what we could tell, she doesn't have any relationship with the Lord. And he's like, you know, actually, if you're more forthright and say, you know, my for Troy, you know, my wife and I pray about decisions before they make them. And, you know, we really feel like the Lord's saying there's another direction to go. And if you're, you know, honest with her that way, it could be the best thing, you know, for her to actually have that example of people that really listen to the Lord and, you know, ask, you know, have see his input in their life, you know, even if she doesn't like it. You know, however she responds, be prepared for whatever response, but, you know, expect that the Lord will use this in her life to know that there's actually people that try to hear from God. And so Troy's the one that has to call her the next day, and that would be like for me, I felt so bad that he had to call her because I would have hated that, you know. And so I'm like, you know, all day, like, what happened? So then I talked to Troy, and he's like, well, actually, she was pretty fine with it. I'm like, what? And he said, you know, she was actually deciding between, she had, you know, two offers, and she was trying to decide, and she was actually like, you know, thank you. I didn't really know which way to go, and, you know, this, you know, obviously this kind of makes a decision for me. And so it was actually a really good, the phone call went, you know, the best that it could have gone at that point. And so just to, for me to just again realize, like, Lord, you are intimately involved and accessible, you know, in our lives to know, you know, we can trust you to lead us and to bring us in the right way, because in this, in the natural, it all looked, you know, fine and everything was lining up and that we, you know, should hire her and we'd already even gone that way. But yet you are so willing to show us the right way and to keep us, you know, on that path. And in the midst of that prayer time on the couch with Troy, I also had a picture of a compass and a map, and how Troy, you know, in his whole career has been following the Lord like a compass, where he's been taking him, and he's trusted that over in what a lot of people would do career-wise in the natural, and it's always been a blessing. And so I went into the office the next day for something, and Jamie's like, look, I'm making the mission shirts, and we're getting, you know, I really like this compass, you know. And I'm like, I just had a picture of a compass last night. And so ended up putting that into the devotionals that I was helping to write for the Brazil team. And then Troy told me that was a really significant picture and word that the Brazil team, you know, talked through and prayed through. And so just seeing how the Lord, you know, leads us and guides us, it's been amazing, so.
Okay, and so you have some of these things happening, and you need to share them with one another. We'll have some more. Obviously, we at times have an open mic here for people to share what's going on, testimonies and so on. So this isn't like the only time that anyone will have an opportunity. But we could go on like into the night. Wouldn't that be fun? Hear a lot more testimonies, but we'll close it for right now. But if you pass these out, this is kind of a further sheet of testimonies and about encounter and so on, so you want to get one of those before you leave. But hopefully you're encouraged by, you know, people aren't just receiving this and they know they're struggling through, asking the Lord, you know, working through their process in order to see them come to a better place and help others come to a better place. And the Lord says, those that are comforted can comfort others. Those that have encounters can encourage others. Those that have testimonies happening in their life are going to be a big witness, a big influence on other people in a positive way to seek after the Lord's heart. So be encouraged with that today. Father, we thank you, God, for our time here today, just hearing your actual work in our lives, Father. Actual testimonies of your goodness, of encounter with you, of encounter with you influencing encounters with others, God. And you are leading us. You want us to hear your voice. We're your sheep. You say, John 10:27, we will hear your voice. Father, that's what we want. And we want to base it all on the word. We don't want to hear things off. Have a dream or a vision, and if it doesn't match up with the word, we say, well, it's a dream or a vision. No, Father, we know where the compass is. We know who the umpire is. It's the Holy Spirit. And Father, there's safety in sharing these things with a small circle of those that can help us see even more in what we're encountering. Father, we are blessed that we know you, that we're not going to stop trying to discover more aspects of who you are for us. You want that, and you're going to pour out your Spirit so that it happens even more in the last days. Joel 2, Acts 2. We receive it in this house. We receive it as this tribe. Whatever you want to pour out to us, we're going to press in to receive it, Father. And Lord, we don't want to be in Paul's situation where he was thinking he was doing everything right for you. And you said, why are you kicking against the goads? I am trying to get your attention. So now it's come to this Damascus Road encounter, Damascus Road experience. Father, we won't have to be struck blind in order to see. We will just receive from your heart and be in line with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, we pray that over every person here. Bless them, favor them, lead them this week. Speak to them, God. They're open more than ever. Give them visions, pictures, dreams, encounters. They're open more than ever, God. Your Spirit is speaking to us in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.